Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I was just reading this on Football Scoop. The talks are real. The position has been discussed multiple times. So too have loose parameters of a contract offer. Penn State and BYU head coach Kalani Sitake are continuing to discuss the Nittany Lions head football coaching vacancy, which has been open since midseason when Pat Kraft fired 12th-year head coach James Franklin amidst a 3-3 start to a season and eventually concluded last weekend at 6-6 following a 40-36 win at Rutgers. We got a whole lot going on in the college football world. Lane Kiffin, obviously, to LSU. John Sumrall to Florida. A lot of other craziness in the SEC with college football. We got conference championship weekend and then maybe some news right around the corner with Penn State. Let's welcome in former Georgia quarterback Aaron Murray once again with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Aaron, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
Dude, it is an exhausting, crazy, fun ride that college football is right now. So it's I didn't even know that news. I just got on the show with you right now. So thanks for breaking that for me that may be happening at Penn State. That's kind of the next domino that needs to be to fall when it comes to head coaches across the country. A great job, obviously. But obviously the main focus has been a lot of these SEC jobs getting filled up yesterday and, you know, really Lane Kiffin being that first one that needed to go and then kind of everything else that's come from that. So it's been a great season. It's been a lot of fun, a lot of parody in college football. This part of it's been a little bit too messy for my liking. I think for most people, a little bit too messy. And hopefully everyone realizes after this, you know, this weekend alone, that a lot still needs to be corrected when it comes to the great, you know, great game of college football that we enjoy so much.
Yeah, and Lane's like the perfect character for college football. I get it, schedule of college football and the fact that this even is allowed sucks, but this is what Lane wants. Like, hey, Friday, everyone knew he was going to win the Egg Bowl. Saturday, which way's the decision's going to go? And then it bled into Sunday, and once it did go into Sunday, I think it was pretty clear that he was leaving Ole Miss and that he was going to LSU. So just how do you react to the weekend that was where it was just Lane Kiffin, and then more Lane Kiffin?
Yeah, I think, you know, I was waiting for the end of the Egg Bowl when they won the game for him to say, oh, I'm staying. Like, that would have been the perfect moment of, like, this is my team. I love this team, and I'm committed to being the head coach not only for the playoffs, but for the long term too. And kind of when he didn't make the statement then, I was like, okay, there's – yeah, to me, the chances of him staying were going down significantly at every moment after that. So I think he made the right decision. When it's all said and done, I think for him and his future and the ability to win a championship and the possibility even to win multiple championships, that was not going to happen at Ole Miss. And I get we're in an era now of college football where, you know, Kurt Cinetti can go to Indiana and turn them into a contender in 2 years, that Lane Kiffin can build stability and a winning culture there at Ole Miss. But can you do it over 5 years? Can you do it over a decade? And Kirk Cinetti's at a point in his career, I think in the mid-60s right now, where I don't think he's wanting to maybe leave Indiana and stay where he's at. Lane Kiffin's still a young guy. He still has the ability to coach for another 15, 20 years. And I think this is a move in which you go to LSU and the hopes are, and I know that the whole discussion, I don't know if we're allowed to say it on this show or not, from the past weekend, will Lane ever stay at a one spot, or is he always going to be bouncing around being the word that was used? I think LSU is the spot.
We could say how. Yeah.
Okay, we can say ho. Okay,
yeah, that's one of the words that we could say. Shelby Harris says ho. Lane Kiffin, the reporter, says ho. You know, ho's been a big word in the sports world this week.
So I don't think Lane is a ho and leaves LSU. I think LSU is one of the jobs that you do stay forever at if you get things rolling. So I think it was, like I said, I think it was the right move for him. I think he's going to have the ability to build a roster immediately to have success. And I think that roster is going to be something that's going to be a lot more sustainable without having to essentially redo it year in and year out through the transfer portal. So I'm excited for him. I'm excited for LSU. I think that I think if he gets the right quarterback in the offseason through the portal, I think LSU is going to be contender in the SEC next season.
John Sumrall going to Florida. I know some Florida fans are going to say, oh, great, another G5 coach. But I think this guy, I told him last week when he was on the show, he's a football psycho. He reminds me a lot like Dan Lanning. I know they wanted Lane, but if you can't get Lane out of the candidates that were available, I think Sumrall's a pretty good hire for the Swamp.
I think he's a great hire. I actually had Sumrall. I had Tulane versus Duke early in the season when they beat Duke down there in New Orleans. Got a chance to sit down with him for the first time and talk to him, and I absolutely walked away just so impressed and obviously knew he was going to get an opportunity. Thought it was going to be Auburn. I think Auburn kind of fumbled the bag a little bit there, just with the connections there and you know, them wanting to get the coach. And I love Golish too. I think that was a really good hire for them as well, getting from USF. But of the two, I think Sumrall to me was I feel a little bit more secure in what he can do there going to Florida than maybe what Golish is going to be able to do at Auburn right off the bat. So I agree with you. I know there's frustration of as soon as Billy Napier left, it was, hey, we're going to get Lane. Oh, crap, LSU's open now, so the chances went down significantly. We're not going to get a group of five guy, but I do think this is a better group of five guy than what you had with Billy Napier. So he's going to change the culture, no doubt about it. It's going to come in there from day one. He's going to turn it around and hopefully get them going in the right direction. And it's going to be a tall task. There's no doubt about it. They've improved their facilities. They're on par now with the rest of the SEC. Obviously, they got some good financial backing. But it's a very competitive state, man. Florida State, Miami, USF, UCF. Obviously, everyone and their mother wants to go down to the state of Florida to recruit. But to your point, I think they got the right guy.
Aaron Murray here with us. You talked about how Auburn potentially fumbled the bag with John Sumrall. Some Arkansas fans feel like they fumbled the bag with Alex Golish. A lot of people critical of the Ryan Silverfield hire. I just don't get what else Arkansas fans could expect. And is there that much of a drastic difference from Golish to Silverfield is also what I would say. I think it's a fine hire for Arkansas. I'm not saying you got to do backflips in the street, but what else did you think you were going to get here?
I think for them too. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you could get a Dan Mullen. I don't know. I mean, Dan's having some success obviously at UNLV. I think Dan was someone that, you know, I thought could be a good guy maybe at Penn State as well. You start looking at these openings in the SEC, whether it was Auburn, whether it was, you know, obviously Florida wasn't going to bring Dan Mullen back, but Arkansas, mm-hmm. you know, Dan Mullen's had a lot of success in the SEC, obviously has a lot of ties in the conference, is, you know, put a team in UNLV back into their conference championship game this weekend. I'm surprised he's not one that hasn't gotten a little bit more love because of his experience at the Power Four. And then obviously what he's done this year at UNLV. So he's someone that could have maybe, if he wanted the job, taken it. But I think at the end of the day with Arkansas, I really don't care who the coach is until there's more of a backing when it comes to financially putting that football team in a position, when it comes to NIL, when it comes to facilities. Like I said, it doesn't matter who the coach is. You can go hire Nick Saban tomorrow, but if this is this is what you're going to get and we're not going to give you any more, you're still not going to win consistently against the big boys. You need that financial. Look at Vanderbilt. I mean, they've been able to upgrade their facilities, brand new facility. They upgraded the stadium. They got the financial backing when it comes to NIL. And all of a sudden, I know Diego's been terrific and have been a big part of the reason why you get a quarterback, then a lot of things happen. But they've a way more of a commitment now, and all of a sudden they're 10-2. And I'm not going to say it's an overnight thing for Arkansas if they get the backing, but, man, you can't have – just one. You can't have just an average coach and really good backing. You can't have good backing with or a really good coach without the backing financially. So they need to look at themselves internally and figure out, do we want to be good at football? And if you do, you need to be able to support it a little bit more.
So Kentucky's moving off of Mark Stoops. Aaron Murray here with us. Mark Stoops did a phenomenal job at Kentucky. I thought it was time. You hear Will Stein's name thrown out there, Brian Hartline, even Dan Mullen, like we talked about. Is there one there that stands above the rest? Would you go younger, or would you go for the more proven commodity with the Dan Mullen for Kentucky?
I love Dan Mullen. I think Dan is you know, Kentucky has struggled offensively. I mean, hell, they felt like they had a new offensive coordinator. It seemed like coordinator every single year for a while. They're just trying to figure out what we can do on that side of the football to build some, like I said, some consistency, some explosiveness. And they've really had to play, you know, more of an old school style of football, which is not always fun. And also it tends to make games really, really close. And you know, your margin of error goes down significantly when you play that style of football. So, you know, I agree with you that the time kind of felt like it was now. It honestly kind of felt like it should have been a year ago after the 4-8 season, and he had another opportunity. And, you know, I'm sure that the monster buyout had something to do with that as well. I think it's going to be what, somewhere in the $30 million he's going to have to, they're going to have to pay him to leave. But it was the right timing. I say that, and I know it kind of felt like you're ready to move on from him. But to do it now with everything, with all these other jobs, I kind of felt honestly like you maybe should have waited until next cycle to put yourself in a position to maybe get someone better. I think right now you're kind of working your way down the tiers. Like the tier one guy, obviously Lane Kiffin, you're never going to get Lane. But then those next tier guys now pick their spot. So now you're going to, you know, essentially to tier two or tier three and tier four. I get like, do you want to suck it up and have another bad year and just continue down that path? Or are you ready just to rip the Band-Aid off? I honestly would have probably waited one more year and seen what next cycle looked like when it comes to coaches and coaching availability. But if I do have to pick one, like I said, I love Dan Mullen, you know, knows the SEC, has coached in the SEC, had success at Mississippi State. I still think he had some pretty good success at Florida when you look at what he did there at Gainesville without really any sort of backing when it comes to their facilities. And he's had success this year at UNLV. So I don't know why you would not label, you know, Dan Mullen as your number one guy to bring him back into the conference that he's had success at.
Wrap it up with Aaron Murray. SEC championship game. We get Georgia and Alabama. We saw this matchup earlier in the season. Bama won by 3 points. Even if Bama loses the SEC championship game, are they definitely in the college football playoff after finishing the regular season with 2 losses?
No, I don't think so. I think there's too many good teams at 10-2 right now where you do not want to be thrown into that conversation of, you know, Miami. I think you'd still go in above Vanderbilt because of the head-to-head. But you throw in the conversation of them, of Notre Dame. And you just don't want to be there if you're Alabama. Obviously, if Georgia loses, they're probably still in it because that would only be their second loss. And, you know, both losses would essentially be to the same team. But I do think that Alabama being at that number 10 spot right now, if they lose this weekend against Georgia, could end up being out of the college football playoff. And you know, this goes to the bigger discussion of where are we in college football right now? And what does it truly mean to be in a conference championship game? And do you want to play in a conference championship game? I've been leaning for 2 years now of there's been so much talk and excitement and push to expand the playoff to 12. Well, now let's expand it to 16 and whatever it may end up getting to, where that's the big focal point where it kind of feels like college basketball and it kind of feels like college baseball, where the SEC tournament or the ACC tournament or the Big Ten tournament or whatever tournament it is. It's kind of like, whatever, if we lose the first game, doesn't matter. Do we really want to win that? Or do we want to be basketball one of the 64 teams to work our way into the tournament, or the same thing for baseball, working our way to Omaha? So I just feel like these games have lost a little luster in my mind. And really, it's hard to say, like, even Georgia is probably going to be the number 3 team in the country come tomorrow night. If they win this game against Alabama, they probably move up to number 2. But if they lose it, they probably move back to number 5, 6, 7. So you lose a first round bye by playing this game, where if you don't play in it, you're the number 3 seed heading into the playoffs. So I just don't know at the end of the day if these games are going to continue to garner the same luster from fans, and if players and coaches are going to eventually want to continue playing in them if you have the chance to really hurt yourself going into the playoffs.
When we get to Georgia, there was a stretch this year where they were winning games, but it was ugly. Now it seems like they're cruising. Forget about the SEC championship, just bigger picture here. Where's your confidence that this team could go win the Natty this year?
Oh, it's a lot higher over the past month based on the way the defense has played. I've loved the offense, you know, since they kind of turned things around in that Tennessee game. A little rocky start to the season, but, you know, new pieces, new quarterback. It wasn't going to be perfect. But Gunner's been terrific. You know, wasn't great this past week for Georgia Tech, but the rest of the season, he's been a guy that I thought could be in consideration for the Heisman based on his play, especially in big time moments and in the fourth quarter. So I have a lot of faith in the offense, and I think the defense has grown up a lot over the past month. So they're playing their best ball right now. They're playing their most complimentary football right now. So I would label them as one of the best three teams in America, kind of them, Ohio State, and Indiana have kind of separated themselves from the field. Obviously, A&M has had a really bad past few weeks. Obviously, the loss to Texas was really telling over this weekend. So they've kind of lost a little bit of something for me. So yeah, if I had to pick, if you said, hey, it's Ohio State, Indiana, Georgia, or the field, I would honestly probably pick one of those three teams right now to win a national championship over the field.
Last thing I'll ask you, Aaron Murray, if it comes down to Notre Dame and Miami, who should go to the college football playoff?
Oh man, the great debate. I love both teams. I'll be honest. I love both teams. I have been on the side of Miami all year. I think Miami is talent wise one of the most talented rosters in America. They remind me a lot of maybe even like an Ohio State last year, where you know the talent's there defensively. They've been really darn good. They've some of the best pass rushers in America. Offensively, they got great weapons. And when Carson Beck's not turning the ball over, I think he's still one of the best quarterbacks in America. So I think that they're a team that could win a national championship. I think Notre Dame is kind of right there too. But you know, I would say if there's one of those two teams where if they made it to the playoffs, who do I have more faith in that can make a run and win a championship? I would lean towards Miami. Like I said, I think Miami, if they get in, could be this year's Ohio State.
It's interesting because you didn't mention the head-to-head matchup where Miami beat Notre Dame. It's
well, obviously
what you
that
think
goes
they could
into
do in the future. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I have more faith in Miami as a football team that they could end up making a run a little bit more than Notre Dame could.
He's Aaron Murray. Aaron, thanks so much. Appreciate you jumping on board with us today.
Appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
There you go. Aaron Murray joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a break. We'll come on back. We got some questions on this Monday. I will tell you if they're onside or offside. We'll get to a little onside, offside next.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb.
All righty, onside, offside time right here. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. Stu, what do you got cooking today?
All right, so the Browns got smoked 26-8 by the Niners yesterday as Shador struggled for most of the game, throwing for just 149 yards and a touchdown. Now in two starts, Shador is averaging 179 yards through the air with two touchdowns and a pick, while Dylan Gabriel went 1-5 with six touchdowns and two picks in six starts. After yesterday's game, the Browns said Shador will remain QB1 for now. Onsides, offsides, Shador should be QB1 for the rest of the season.
Yeah, like who else are you going to go to? I've already seen Dylan Gabriel. I don't want to see any more Dylan Gabriel. I've only seen two starts of Shador Sanders. You're going to go back to Deshaun Watson? And it seems like that ship has sailed, even though you keep on seeing these videos or these photos of Deshaun Watson where he's inching closer and closer, right, to trying to present this idea that he's ready to play. But I think you should rock and roll with Shador for the rest of the season. So I will go onsides there.
All right. While the Browns cycle through their quarterbacks, their defense is rolling. Well, at least one guy is, and that is Myles Garrett, who now has an insane 19 sacks through 12 games and is on pace for 26.5, which would shatter the NFL single season sack record of 22.5 held by Michael Strahan and TJ Watt, though Watt hit the mark in 15 games. Onsides, offsides, Myles Garrett will break the sack record in fewer than 15 games.
So he's going to need four more sacks? Right? Yeah, that would get to 23.
Yeah.
And that would be in fewer than 15 games. So he would have to do that. He would have to have four sacks up against Tennessee because this is week 14. I'm not good with numbers, but if you were just going to say in 15 games, I would say on sides fewer than 15. I know that he's had a bunch of crazy sack performances this season. Five against the Pats. He had four, I think, up against the Steelers. Even though it could happen against Tennessee, but I don't think he's going to get four up against Tennessee. I'll take the odds that he doesn't. So Myles Garrett will break the record in fewer than 15 games. I'm going to go offsides there.
Now, just for the record, the Browns have played 12 games. It might be week 14, but they had a bye, so two games to get there.
Gotcha. Sorry, I thought you meant just in the week. Yeah, then yes. You're right, because they had the bye week in week 9. Tennessee and yeah, he should be able to get 2 sacks against Tennessee and 2 sacks up against the Bears, even though the Bears' offense is playing really well. So Myles Garrett will break the record in fewer than 15 games. Yeah, we'll actually then switch that to onside because of the bye week point.
All right, entering the season, the Bills, Ravens, Chiefs, and Lions were 1, 2, 4, and 5 in Super Bowl odds. But currently, KC, Baltimore, and Detroit are all out of the playoffs, and the Bills are clinging to the 7th seed, just a game ahead of the surging Texans. Onside, offsides, at least 3 of those 4 teams will miss the playoffs.
And the Ravens, their offense was stinky. I had a lasagna layered anytime touchdown parlay on Thursday. Right out of the gate, boom, Montgomery scored 1. Right out of the gate, boom, Rashee Rice scored 2. Then all I needed was Lamar Jackson. And Lamar was absolutely pathetic. So with that being said, I still trust the Ravens more than the Steelers because, man, Aaron Rodgers got banged up yesterday. Already has the broken bones in his left wrist. And then he took a shot yesterday from Joey Bosa where Benford picked up the football, Christian Benford, and ran it into the end zone, and then his nose was gushing. But 3 out of those 4 teams will miss the playoffs. I still think the Ravens beat out the Steelers for the North. I'm still going to say the Bills make the postseason. And the Chiefs and the Lions are iffy. The Chiefs and Lions could both miss it. But at least 3 of the 4 teams will miss the playoffs when going offsides because I do think that the Bills and the Ravens will get in.
Offside!
All right, yesterday we saw 3 of the greatest catches that you'll ever see in the NFL. First, the Rams' Puka Nacua made an insane backwards one-handed snag against the Panthers. Next, Raider super tight end Brock Bowers did the impossible and pulled in a one-handed grab off of the turf.
I don't know how that ball didn't hit the turf.
I don't know either.
Brock.
I know. I was watching and I was like, that has to be a drop, and it wasn't. He
you
caught
know,
it.
He was rocking out with his Brock out yesterday.
He was.
Instead of that system quarterback, Brock Purdy. Go ahead.
And then finally, you had the Commanders, Treylon Burks. He did his best OBJ impression with a leaping one-handed touchdown over a defender. Onside, offsides, Bowers' catch was the best of the 3.
Treylon Burks, by the way, I think he was the receiver that got drafted, I think, out of Arkansas when the Tennessee Titans traded that first-round pick for A.J. Brown. He was the guy that ended up getting drafted by Tennessee. Is it crazy to say that Burks, whose catch was ridiculous, was the 3rd best catch? I don't think so. I would go Puka 1, I would go Bowers 2, and then I would go Burks 3. And the reason I would go Puka 1 is, right, the Bowers catch, he's fading and the ball's right there and he scoops it off the turf with his left hand. The Burks catch is in the back right of the end zone. He goes up with his right hand and grabs it in. Puka takes the hand that's nearest to the football and, like, backward hands catches it and reels it in this way. If you're watching on YouTube, I just did a good job at probably visually showing you that. So I thought the Puka catch was actually the best catch out of the 3. I would go Puka 1, Brock 2, Burks 3, even though all 3 were just flat out ridiculous. So Bowers' catch was the best out of the 3. I'm going to go, I can't believe I'm saying this, offsides.
Offside.
While this year's NFC's number 1 team, the Rams, lost to the Panthers, and last year's number 1 seed, Lions, they lost to the Packers on Thanksgiving. The defending Super Bowl champion Eagles, they lost to the surging Bears on Black Friday. The win was the Bears' 5th in a row and 9th in their last 10 games as they took over the top spot in the NFC at 9-3. Onside, offsides, the Bears, they are the best team in the NFC.
You know the first-year head coaches this year? You got Jacksonville with the Jaguars with Liam Cohen. They are 8-4. Then you do got Brian Schottenheimer with the Dallas Cowboys, 6-5-1. You got Ben Johnson with the Chicago Bears, 9-3. I understand you got Kellen Moore with the Saints, who's 2-10. You got the Patriots with Mike Vrabel, 10-2, could be 11-2. Huh, who am I missing?
Who else? Who else is on that list?
Who am I missing? Oh, yeah, Aaron Glenn. Jets are playing a little bit better. They got a win yesterday. They won me some money.
3 out of 5, baby.
They're 3-9. Aaron Glenn. I don't want to interview with the Patriots. Loser. And then, yeah, Pete Carroll. 2-10 with the Raiders. Jeez. It's rough. Rough, 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 rough. But you asked me here, are the Bears the best team in the NFC? They finally had a signature win. They did. They had a signature win. But just in their own division, like, I still think Green Bay is better. And now we're going to see him play twice in 3 weeks. So that's like just in their own division. I still think Green Bay has the potential to be better than the Bears. So I'm going to go offsides on that question. You asked me if the Bears are the best team in the NFC. But Ben Johnson, give him credit. He's turned this thing around. After the first 2 weeks looked really ugly, he's been magnificent.
Offsides.
All right. The Steelers offense looked anemic in their loss to the Bills, gaining 166 yards as Aaron Rodgers had just 170.
You know, at halftime, real quickly, sorry to cut you off. At halftime, I was doing the Compass. I had to give scoreboard reports when I'm doing the I was on yesterday with the Vikings and the Seahawks. I was doing the studio pre-half and post. And at halftime, I gave an update on the Bills-Steelers game. Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers combined at half, had 105 total passing yards. That's how ugly that game was offensively. Continues to, sorry.
Yeah, well, Rodgers for the game had just 117 yards before leaving with an injury. And backup Mason Rudolph went 0-3 with no yards and a pick, playing basically a lot of the second half. Now, after the game, Rodgers called out his receivers. He signaled out tight end Jonnu Smith in the process as well.
When there's film sessions, everybody shows up. And when I check to a route, you do the right route, you know? Like, Jonnu and I just weren't on the same page. I checked his in-breaker, and he ran an out-breaker. Jonnu's a true professional, so I'm sure he's... You know, he's sick about that. But, you know, we have our meetings every week. We have other opportunities outside of the facility. And look forward to seeing all the boys there.
All right, onsides, offsides. Aaron Rodgers has been worse than you expected this year.
No, Aaron Rodgers has been exactly what I expected this year out of him. He's a washed-up quarterback. He will be mid, as the kids would say. There will be some games where it looked like he found the fountain of youth. But I said going into the season, I would be curious to see if he could last the entire season behind that offensive line. And, you know, he was even looking hobbly at times last year as well. This guy's been the same thing that I thought the guy's career basically ended when, unfortunately, had the Achilles pop up against the Buffalo Bills to kick off that era with the New York Jets. He was even bad at the end of his time with the Green Bay Packers. So it's been exactly what I've expected. The Steelers are going to be a fringe playoff team. The quarterback's going to be banged up, and his stats will be eh. So Aaron Rodgers has been worse than you expected this year? No, he's been exactly what I expected this year. So offsides.
Offside.
As we've talked about throughout the show, Lane Kiffin, he is off to LSU, and the divorce with Ole Miss got ugly at the end after Kiffin decided to leave the sixth-ranked College Ball-Bound Rebels. The school told him he wouldn't be allowed to coach the team in the playoffs. The decision prompted a scathing statement by Kiffin and some behind-the-scenes threats to poach coaches and other star players from Oxford to Baton Rouge. Onsides, offsides, Ole Miss is making a mistake by not letting Kiffin try to win a national title for the program.
I'm going to say offsides because they promote from within and they make Golding the head coach. So you already have your guy in waiting and the guy that's going to be the next head football coach of this team just taking over right away. And also, like, he's not leaving a G5 school to go to a Power 4 conference. He's leaving inside the conference, and he was going to be a malcontent there, and he's going to sit there and basically just recruit everyone over the next few weeks, however long Ole Miss's playoff run did last. It's unfortunate, but with how messy... This is like a Lane Kiffin problem. He made this messy. He didn't have to get to be this messy. But since Lane made it messy, Ole Miss put their foot down. So I don't think they're making a mistake in not letting Kiffin try to win a national championship at Ole Miss. So I'm going to go offsides there.
Offside.
The defending champion Buckeyes finished the regular season undefeated as Ryan Day got that Ann Arbor monkey off of his back by dominating Michigan. Quarterback Julian Sayin finished the season with 30 touchdowns and 5 picks while completing nearly 80% of his passes. Ohio State faces the only other undefeated team in the nation in Indiana for the Big Ten title, who boasts their own superstar quarterback in Fernando Mendoza, who has 32 touchdowns and 5 picks, as both he and Sayin lead the way for the Heisman. Onsides, offsides, whoever wins the Big Ten title game, they will win the Heisman.
So Diego Pavi will probably be a finalist. Jeremiah Love just got banged up, but I still think he'll be a finalist. I still think Ty Simpson and Gunnar Stockton could maybe make a case to be made, depending on what happens in the SEC championship game. But it does feel like it's either going to be Sayin or Mendoza, and they got to play well. Like, you could play well and you could play poorly and still win the Big Ten championship game. I guess that's a possibility. But in theory, if you win the Big Ten championship game, you're going to assume you're going to be playing well. So I would probably say onsides to that. Whoever wins the Big Ten title game will win the Heisman. I'm in agreement there.
Staying in the Big Ten, Michigan State, they fired head coach Jonathan Smith after he went 9-15 in two seasons there. And they will hire former Northwestern coach Pat Fitzgerald to replace him. The Spartans have had just one winning season since Mark D'Antonio left in 2019 after having six double-digit win seasons in D'Antonio's 13 years at the helm. Onsides, offsides, Pat Fitzgerald can make Michigan State a Big Ten contender.
I think he could improve the program. I think it's a good fit for the program. He did a good job at Northwestern. Do I think that they're going to be competing with Ohio State? Do I think they're going to be competing with Indiana, Michigan, Oregon? I do not. I think they could be improved. A Big Ten contender? No. Offsides.
Offside.
All right, last one. As we discussed, Kentucky was a little late to the party in their coaching search, firing longtime coach Mark Stoops yesterday after 13 seasons. One name that has gotten some attention in Lexington is former Oregon and UCLA coach Chip Kelly, who was fired as Raiders OC a couple weeks ago. Onsides, offsides, Chip Kelly would be a good hire for Kentucky.
20 years ago, it'd be the best hire in college football. Now the game has passed him by. Absolutely not. It would be a horrendous hire. I'd rather hire Brian Hartline. I'd rather hire Will Stein. I'd rather hire Dan Mullen, just for starters. One of those three guys, it feels like, has to be the next head football coach at Kentucky. Chip Kelly, would he be a good hire at Kentucky? No. It would be a disgusting hire. So I'm going offsides there.
Offside.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let me quickly take Chris in Alabama next up on the show. Chris, what's happening? Good afternoon.
What's going on, Zach Gelb? I mean, hey, what can I say about my Crimson Tide? Hey, tell the producer to cut on the Bee Gees, because we stand alive. Staying alive. Exactly,
alive,
baby.
Staying alive. I think you guys are in the playoff either way, by the way. Even if you lose this weekend, I still think you're getting in.
If we don't beat our sons at this point this Saturday, I don't want to.
Oh, really?
I mean, yeah. I said sons. If we put up a turning test and call Maury, let's believe we'll be doing a dance that we pretty much own those boys.
You say calamari?
Call Maury.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I thought you said calamari, like the food. You got me all thinking about the food, the squid and all that stuff. Or octopus.
No, man, you know what it is. We're just keeping the Tumors Corner down here in the best college football rivalry, not the game, because that game would need competitive, unlike the Iron Bowl.
You're saying Alabama-Georgia is the best rivalry? Is that what you're saying?
No, Alabama-Auburn.
I love Alabama-Auburn. It's not Michigan-Ohio State. It's just not.
Oh, please. Oh, please. People have literally, got killed over results of this thing down here, man. And literally, if Ohio State and Michigan didn't have them down years, you have the NFL and the NBA. We don't even got none of that down here, baby. But other than the UFL. But what I will say is this, though. When it comes to the Lane Kiffin stuff, man, you can't blame Lane. And I want to talk to all the Ole Miss fans. So you can't blame Lane. And honestly, they aren't at fault either. Who is at fault? Those pathetic wusses. They call themselves Louisiana State University, because they can't play their hand that they themselves chose the deal. And even then, they want to take Brian Kelly to the court about paying the money that you do indeed owe him.
Mm-hmm.
Let that sink in. It's like, don't get me started on the
fact that you had though, your own. You think a fit like Kalani Sitake, him and Pat Kraft will have a lot of energy, but like, I don't think Kalani Sitake is a fit at Penn State. It could work. Lane Kiffin, though, and thanks for the phone call, Chris, he's a fit at LSU. Like, if you were mocking up what LSU is about, it's Lane Kiffin. So the two seem like it's a match made in heaven. But sometimes you put together two people that you think are going to be really great and get married one day and end up being like a toxic relationship. That's a possibility. But I thought Brian Kelly could win a national championship at LSU. I was dead wrong. Do I think Lane Kiffin could win a national championship at LSU? Absolutely. Is Mike Tomlin going to be out at the end of the season with the Steelers? We'll discuss on the other side. Update time first. Here is the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. All righty, welcome back. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. Let's hear from Alex Golish, the new head football coach at Auburn. Obviously, when Hugh Freeze was at Auburn, it was all about golf, 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 golf. Does the football coach golf more than maybe even the golfing coach? But he was clearly golfing more than paying attention to the football program. So inevitably, Alex Golish was asked, do you like golf? Do you golf? What's your golfing background when he was introduced today as the next head football coach of War Eagle?
My question to you is, do you like to play golf?
So it's a setup question. Been here long enough to know that. So my little man, Barrett, loves golf. And Corbin used to, and she's now super into cheerleading and flag football, so she's just doing it as a hobby now. And my wife is an elite golfer. I like football more than golf. And I'm terrible.
Could you imagine if he was just stopped and didn't say the I'm terrible part? I'd be sitting there and saying, ooh, that's not a good answer. But once he throws out the I'm terrible part, it's okay. That's not a concern. That's a good way to handle it. Do you think the PR people prepped him on that one? Do you think they knew that a question about golf was coming? Like, don't get me wrong. I have stirred up the pot quite a bit throughout the years in some press conferences. I don't even think I would be able to be put two and two together of, okay, the old football coach loved to golf. Golf was such a good storyline or a big storyline under Hugh Freeze. So now let's ask the new head football coach if he likes the golf. Stu, do you think the PR person was even savvy enough to prep the coach that maybe there's going to be a golf question there?
I don't think so. I'd be pretty surprised if that was the case.
Yeah, I'm with you on that front. All righty. Steelers lose yesterday. They have now lost back-to-back games. They have won two games since week six. So since week six, so after they beat the Cleveland Browns in week six, so from week seven and on, they've won two games. Against the Colts, impressive. Against the Bengals, not so much. So you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. They beat the Jets to open up the season 34-32, not impressive. They then got crushed by the Seahawks 31-17. They beat New England, where now that looks like a good win, but they probably should have lost that game. I think like Ramondre Stevenson had 500 fumbles in that game. Then they beat the Minnesota Vikings, and I think Carson Wentz was the quarterback. I'm pretty sure Carson Wentz was the quarterback at that point because it was week four. McCarthy played a game and a half. Yeah, it was Carson Wentz. So that's not an impressive win. Then they beat Cleveland. Who cares? They lose to the Bengals. Terrible. They lose to the Packers. Not embarrassing. They beat the Colts. That's a good win. They lose to the Chargers 25-10. They beat the Bengals. Who cares? They lose to the Bears. They lose to the Bills. This has been a bad season. Now, could they still win the division? Yes. The Bengals could still win the division. The Ravens could still win the division. The Steelers obviously could still win the division. But you're sitting there, if you're a Steelers fan, and I understand, right, there could be some fan bases that say, oh, the Steelers are selfish, right? Like, Stu, you would love Mike Tomlin as the head football coach of the Raiders.
Sign me up.
Samter, you would love Mike Tomlin as the head football coach of the Jets.
I love Aaron Glenn, but yeah.
Come on. It's not even close. So to a Jets fan or to a Raider fan, you're looking at Steelers fans and you're saying, this guy's been your coach for 15, 16 years, whatever it is. He's won a Super Bowl. He's consistently over 500. He's consistently in the playoffs. Now, I get it. He hasn't won a playoff game since 2016. The Jet fan, Samter. The Raider fan, Stu. They're saying, oh, Steelers fans are spoiled. We'd love to have that success. We'd love to have a coach that's been there for basically two decades, has won a Super Bowl, right? A Super Bowl, been to another, even though they lost it, right? Is always in the playoffs. I get it. They haven't won a playoff game in a decade. But these are the Pittsburgh Steelers now. And I'm going to defend the Steeler fan that wants Mike Tomlin out. I think the national media is embarrassing when it comes to this Mike Tomlin topic. And I think that a lot of other people in the media are embarrassing when it comes to this topic. The Eagles got rid of Andy Reid, right? Andy Reid. I know he didn't win a Super Bowl. They got rid of Andy Reid. Now, Andy Reid's gone on to win 3 Super Bowls, but the Eagles have also gone on with 2 different coaches to win 2 Super Bowls. The Patriots. Bill Belichick won 6 freaking Super Bowls. Patriots moved off of him. I know it didn't work out with Gerard Mayo, but now it's working with Mike Vrabel. There's an expiration date on everybody. And when you're the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, just get into the playoffs isn't good enough. Now, I don't think that the Steelers are even contemplating moving off of Mike Tomlin in this offseason. The Rooney family, it's Noel, it's Cowher, and then it's Mike Tomlin. They don't make changes really at the head coaching position until the coach wants out. That's just the way that it feels like. But with that being said, I do think the days of Mike Tomlin winning a Super Bowl are long gone and long done in Pittsburgh. And isn't that the standard? The Steelers have won 6 Super Bowl championships in their franchise history. The standard's not just to make the postseason, be a fringe playoff team each and every year. You get in, and then you get smacked in the wild card round. But that's what the Steelers have become. So if the Eagles at one point could move off of Andy Reid, if the Patriots at one point could move off of Bill Belichick, why is it crazy to say that the Steelers should move off of Mike Tomlin? It's just time. And the Steelers could find their next coach to usher in the next era of Steelers football. And Mike Tomlin would get scooped up tomorrow. And maybe it could even benefit him by going somewhere else. Maybe he could win another Super Bowl somewhere else. But in Pittsburgh, the idea that Mike Tomlin's winning another Super Bowl anytime soon, I just don't see it. You'd be a damn fool at this point to think that they're anywhere close to winning a Super Bowl. It's not like it's been a 3-year hiatus. Folks, they haven't won a playoff game since the 2016 season. 2016 season. I was just starting my radio career in the year of 2016. I was just getting out of Temple University. I was working for Fox Sports 920 The Jersey with Stu. And I didn't even know Stu was one of my employees as I was Stu's boss. That's how long it was. I ended up working at the Fanatic. I ended up starting at CBS Sports Radio. Then after 2 years leaving, going to Sirius for 3 months, then coming back here. Right to present day, December 1st of 2025. Through all that, the Steelers haven't won a playoff game. Like, come on. You know, I have gone through my early 20s to my mid-20s to my late 20s, now to my early 30s. Since the last time the Steelers have won a playoff game. But now you can't fire the coach. I just don't get it. And if your argument is, oh, well, he'll get a job tomorrow. That's not good enough. Yeah, Andy Reid got a job tomorrow. The Eagles, I know they hired Chip Kelly first, but they ended up getting Doug Peterson, Nick Sirianni, both of them won Super Bowls. The Patriots got rid of Bill Belichick. It didn't work out at first with Gerard Mayo. Now it's working with Mike Vrabel. The Patriots have the most wins in the league after tonight with 11. If they just beat the lousy Giants. By the way, where's that Marash? I want to see Marash today. I want to do a little pregame celebration and just taunt Marash on this game because he hates the Patriots and he won't even admit it. So, yeah, I think it could be – I don't think it could be time. I think it is time for at the end of the year the Steelers and Mike Tomlin to split. But do I think that's going to actually happen? No, I do not, because the Rooney family doesn't operate that way. Chris Doering's going to join us next. We'll talk some college football with all the mayhem that did go down the other day in the SEC coaching carousel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people.
and off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.